Saturday, Steve's thought for the day. And we're still in those minor prophets. Now going to be for a few days now. There's some great lessons in there. Ness.
Morning, it's Ness Andrews and it's Saturday morning. And I hope you've enjoyed so far this week on some of the thoughts of the day around the minor prophets. Which leads us nicely on this morning to Micah, which is one of the last prophets to be recorded in the Old Testament. And we're talking around about 750 years before Christ. And what do we know about Micah? Well, we know that he was preaching at the same time as Isaiah, and that he and Micah came from the southern region, whereas Steve spoke the other day about Hosea, and he would have come from the north and would have been preaching to the northern tribe, who were calling themselves Israel. Anyway, back to Micah. So we know that Isaiah was from a very rich and wealthy background, whereas Micah was from a very poor background, so complete opposites in terms of their upbringing. Now, Micah could see the corruption in Jerusalem was beginning to spread out and touch the country towns in Shephelah, and he was noticing the bad influence that was taking effect in the towns, and that hurt him. And he observed bribery among the judges, the prophets and the priests. And these were the very people that should have upheld the law of God and were being paid to say things that the people wanted to hear. There was an exploitation at the time of the powerless, the covetous, greed, cheating, violence and cruelty became all too common. Crime was on the increase, landlords were stealing from the poor, evicting widows and orphans and putting them out on the streets. Merchants and traders were using inaccurate scales and weights so that businesses were corrupt, and sin was infiltrating every level of society. And above all, the rich and powerful were abusing the poor. A little bit like we talked about in Jonah the other day. So amid all this, Micah had a vision from God that had touched Judah, the north and the surrounding nations. His vision seemed to go out in ripples. And his first vision was really of the tribes of Judah. And then his vision went further afield and he had a vision for the whole nation. Even the 10 tribes in the north, though they would have nothing to do with the south. His heart was enlarged to carry the burden of the lost world, though it started with the burden for his own people. And he saw God coming down to deal with Judah and that he would judge them and take them away from every little bit of land in the south. And this affected Micah very deeply. In fact, there was two factors that made him feel all of this. And one was the Holy Spirit and one was his own spirit. And every prophet that we know of in the Bible and today often has a dynamic encounter with the Holy Spirit. And some of that will lead us to go about and preach, as did Micah and the other prophets that we've spoken of. But as we work through Micah, the three central parts of the chapters is, in chapters 1 to 3, it talks about the crime and punishment in detail. And then in 4 and 5, there's peace and security. And chapters 6 and 7 is justice and mercy. So looking at chapter 5, verse 2, it reads, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel." And clearly what we see here is the prediction that Jesus was going to be born 700 years before he actually entered this world. And we also know that Isaiah had a similar prophecy. We don't know which one had it first, and we don't know if, you know, that God just really released this prophecy to both of them because he wanted to cement the fact that the future Messiah was to come. And we also know with Micah that he had he often felt the pain through his human spirit. And it says in Micah that he howled like a jackal and cried like an ostrich and tore off his clothes. So great was his anguish. He just realised that the situation was hopeless. And what I can identify with Mika is that his concern about idolatry, immorality and injustice, working in the law and seeing injustice happening so often in terms of cases that we see, I can understand the pain that he would be feeling. Even today, I found myself being the person or the victim of injustice. And so sadly, it's still something that carries on today, and I wish it didn't. And in summary then, we see that Mika and God want justice and people to be living righteously, but what they actually need in the end is actually God's mercy, and that the two of those travel on the same road together but are quite different. So my question to you today is, or thought for the day is, when were you last in an unjust situation, and when did you see it resolved by God's mercy? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the teachings of Mika, and Lord, that it opens our eyes to that even 2,000 years on, Lord, we still have injustice happening today. Lord, help us to live right. Help us to live according to your will. And Father, when we do wrong, we pray that we will receive your mercy. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ness. Just a quick reminder, tomorrow, no thought for the day, but it's our church service and it's Father's Day, and we have got something very, very special that you must not miss. That's 10 a.m. on our YouTube channel, Life Church Lichfield, and enjoy a morning worshipping together with a great crowd of people. Have a fantastic weekend. No, make a fantastic weekend. Carpe diem.